Hello everyone, it's Corinne Zupko and welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm really happy that you're here and we will begin reading in just a few moments. We'll start as we usually do with having our moment of silence. And just a reminder, if you do have background noise, you can mute your line by pressing star 6 and you can unmute your line by pressing star 6 again. So let's just take a few moments to come together in silence, bringing our mind to that place inside that we all share. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. We're placing the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. Taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of this time and place. Okay, so today we are going to start reading in the Sparkle Edition. We are on page 75. It's chapter 4, and the subheading is Love Without Conflict. In the original edition, it's page 64, same subheading, Love Without Conflict. Again, chapter 4, part 4. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is on page 60, chapter 4, part 3, also called Love Without Conflict. Okay, so as we usually do, I will read a paragraph or two and pause, and whatever comes up and we will talk about it. Love without conflict. You have never understood what the kingdom of heaven is within you means. The reason you have not understood it is because it is not understandable to the ego, which interprets it as if something outside is inside, and this does not mean anything. The word within is unnecessary. The kingdom of heaven is you. What else but you did the Creator create, and what else but you is His kingdom? This is the whole message of the Atonement, a message which, in its totality, transcends the sum of its parts. Christmas is not a time, it is a state of mind. The Christ mind wills from the soul, not from the ego, and the Christ mind is yours. I'm going to just pause there for a moment. So this is just, I think this is really beautiful, and I feel like it makes so much sense that the idea that the kingdom of heaven is within you is not really understandable to the ego because of this idea that we have of being separate and there being an external, that something outside is within. But so the way of thinking about it is that the kingdom of heaven is you. It is us. And I also really, really like the sentence. And I don't think this is in the FIP edition, from what I remember. Christmas is not a time. It is a state of mind. How perfect with the holidays coming up to remember that it's not a time, it's a state of mind. And it goes on to talk about the Christ mind, which again is heaven. It's the oneness that we all share, the sonship, the Son of God, which we all are. The Christ mind wills from the soul, not from the ego, and the Christ mind is yours. So again, it's that state of mind when we're coming from truth, when we're siding with the Holy Spirit, rather than coming from the ego. So I thought that was really pretty. it reminds me too.
I have a question.
Sure.
I really have a hard time between that the Holy Spirit is within me. So I would say when I look at soul, and I was going to ask you, okay, soul, I'm not sure exactly how the connection goes, but that maybe I can't even ask that question right now. The question is that I think I'm still thinking in terms of how who, if the Holy Spirit is within me, it's like maybe I'm still thinking in terms of the physical body. I'm really struggling with that because I'm thinking, no, he ain't in me. He's not there. So
I
please
gotcha. I
forgive me,
gotcha.
but I have to tell you that I'm really struggling with that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay. And it is hard to grasp this idea of the Holy Spirit being within us, but I have two things that came forward for me. One is that, we very much believe right now that we are these separate bodies. And the Course says that when we chose to go down this, descent into fear, into this state of separation where we perceive ourselves as separate from one another, God instantly, the minute we had that crazy tiny mad idea, that same instant, God gave the answer so we couldn't get permanently lost in the dream. And that is the Holy Spirit. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. So he placed the Holy Spirit in our mind. Maybe it's more helpful to think about the Holy Spirit being in your mind, because it isn't a physical thing. God placed the Holy Spirit in our mind so we could not, we it, it would we would always have an option out of this. The Holy Spirit is always there. It's just that we have to make the choice to turn to the Holy Spirit. So that comes forward for me. And then the other thing you said about the word soul, in the FIP edition, the word soul was deleted or changed. I don't think I'd have to do a search. I'm pretty sure it doesn't appear. I'm not sure if at all, but I know at least it's very little in the FIP edition. They've restored it. Like, they put it back when Helen Schucman was getting the dictation coming through her. They put back into this book, what she had originally written down, which was the word soul. And if you think about it this way, in this state that we're in right now, in these bodies, we can either have wrong-mindedness by listening to the ego, which is what we are pretty darn good at. I know I am. Or we can be in right-mindedness, which is when we're listening to the Holy Spirit. So that's when we say, all right, I'm going to step back and let the Holy Spirit lead the way. So that's wrong-mindedness and right-mindedness, which is the choice that we have here. One-mindedness is of the soul, meaning that it's transcending this level of form. And really, the soul, my understanding at least, is that's what we all are in truth. That's beyond this physical existence. So you can think of those sort of three things. Here it's one-mindedness. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Here it's right-mindedness or wrong-mindedness. One-mindedness is above that, and that one-mindedness is the soul that connects us all. Does that help?
Yeah, the one-mindedness is that there is, I don't know, the word comes to mind that there is no separation, that we're all of the one mind, which is God. Yeah?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
But
Great.
thank you. And so when I think of my mind, I can't think of the physical brain or anything like that. I have to think of the mind as listening to the right mind, listening to what thoughts I would have with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that if you want, we always have the choice to think of our small personal mind, which is the ego mind, if we want to also. So we can think of it however we want to, but the peace is going to come when we're thinking about our mind in terms of, the Holy Spirit within our mind, siding with right-mindedness.
Thank you. That was helpful.
Okay, good. You are very welcome. Okay, I'll keep reading. You too have a kingdom which is, excuse me, I'm going to start over. You too have a kingdom which your soul created. It has not ceased to create because your ego has set you on the road of perception. Your soul's creations are no more fatherless than you are. Your ego and your soul will never be co-creators, but your soul and your creator will always be. Be confident that your creations are as safe as you are. The kingdom is perfectly united and perfectly protected, and the ego will not prevail against it. Amen. That was written in that form because it is a good thing to use as a kind of prayer in moments of temptation. It is a declaration of independence. You will find it very helpful if you understand it fully. So I'll just pause there. So this starts out by talking about how, I know we've talked about this before, this idea that the Course refers to our creations, and it even says in the Course that our creations miss us. My understanding at this point, and if anybody else has anything to share and, you know, any insights, please jump in, but just as God extends and we are creations of God, we have continued that extension. And so, you know, we have creations as well. We have, we've extended that love and truth because, you know, that's what love does. It expands and it grows. So this is saying that even despite our being in this seeming separation, truth has remained unchanged. Our creations, it says, are no more fatherless than you are. So, you know, God is still our father. This is saying, I'm trying to come up with a neutral, you know, rather than father, mother, just I'm saying father, but I'm meaning it in a neutral way that, you know, our creations are not fatherless and we aren't either. And then it says that our soul and our ego, so again, the part of us in truth and our ego will never be co-creators, but that part of our mind that's in truth and our creator or God will always be co-creators. So I'll also just add to the very at the end where it says this is a declaration of independence about this prayer. I really like that because it's kind of like the 4th of July. If you think about Independence Day, it's a declaration of independence from the ego. So I like that. That's a real cause for fireworks. And any thoughts or insights so far?
Well, this is Sonia. I'm glad you mentioned the part about the creations because I had just been having that thought too because I didn't really understand what that meant. And when I do my own personal reading of the text in another chapter, I maybe got the sense that they were referring to all the things in form that we do in love. Mm-hmm. I guess when it says like the Holy Spirit will wash away all of the things, all the judgments, and so that all that is remaining is the love we shared. I didn't know if that was inferred as the creation. So,
can you say that last sentence again from the that the Holy Spirit will wash away? I want to just hear
the judgments and the misperceptions and all that we've given in love will remain.
All that we've given in love will remain. That to me sounds like it is. The Course always kind of does that sort of. Sometimes it's talking about, like, you know, the level, the formless level. Sometimes it's talking about the form level, and it's not always immediately clear which it's talking about. But that sounds to me like the form level, you know, the Holy Spirit is there to wash away our false perceptions and only leave, you know, the love that's really there. And yet the Course, this is actually a piece of the editing in the FIP edition that I like, that I think in the Sparkle and Original editions isn't as clear. They do make the distinction between creating and making. So it makes the distinction that on this level of form, we make things. Mm-hmm. In the level of formlessness, that's where true creation happens. So it actually distinguishes between those two words. So that's kind of a helpful way of thinking about it, too, that when you see the word creation, it's typically referring to the formless level.
Yeah.
But that can be ambiguous in the Sparkle edition sometimes, I've noticed.
I just, you know, because I was like one of the other ladies, I didn't really understand it, so I figured it was just beyond my understanding at this point, so I just moved on. I didn't even dwell on it. I was like, I don't know. So, And also because it's like, you know, because it talks about in the Course how the ego likes to intellectualize, and I didn't want to get stuck intellectualizing.
Yeah,
and then, you know, it says, like, the Holy Spirit will reveal everything to you, interpret it for you. So I was like, if it's not being, if I don't understand now, then it'll be interpreted later.
Yes, that's perfect. That's perfect. Because then, we don't have to bother figuring it out. Just like you're saying, we don't have to try to intellectualize it and understand it. It's going to be clear as we're ready to know.
Yes.
I think we've all had that experience in reading this where, we'll read a sentence and it's like, what the heck did that just say? And then, you come around again and you read it and it's like, oh, that's totally obvious because our defenses are a little lower and, we're ready. So, great. Okay.
So
let's see the next.
There's one question there.
Sure.
In terms of your soul's creations are no more fatherless than you are, but maybe I have to say, so is it, we cannot create on this level. I think if I understand correctly, we can't create on this level.
That's the distinction between the wording. Yes, yes. Like true creation, we can make all sorts of substitutes for God here. True creation is not here. That's in the formless realm. But it's also just semantics.
Okay.
Another way of this particular sentence, your soul's creations are no more fatherless than you. Another way of looking at that is that we haven't really separated. Nothing's really happened. Heaven, creation, truth, whatever you want to call it, has remained unchanged despite our seeming, separation. So that's another way of thinking about it too.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, let's read the next paragraph. In its characteristically upside-down way, the ego has taken the impulses from the superconscious and perceives them as if they arise in the unconscious. The ego judges what is to be accepted, and the impulses from the superconscious are unacceptable to it because they clearly point to the non-existence of the ego itself. The ego, therefore, experiences threat and not only censors, but also reinterprets the data. However, as Freud correctly pointed out, what you have repressed can retain a very active life beyond your awareness. I'm just going to keep reading because this will keep clarifying what we just read. Repression thus operates to conceal not only the baser impulses, but also the more lofty ones from awareness because both are threatening to the ego, and being concerned primarily with its own preservation in the face of threat, the ego perceives them as the same. The threat value of the lofty is actually much greater to the ego because the pull of God himself can hardly be equated with the pull of human appetites. By perceiving them as the same, the ego attempts to save itself from being swept away as it would surely be in the presence of knowledge. And I just want to read the next paragraph, too. The upper level of the unconscious thus contains the call of God as well as the call of the body. That is why the basic conflict between love and fear is unconscious. The ego cannot tolerate either and represses both by resorting to inhibition. Society depends on inhibiting the latter, but salvation depends on disinhibiting the former. The reason you need my help is because you have repressed your own guide and therefore need guidance. My role is to separate the true from the false in your unconscious so it can break through the barriers the ego has set up and shine into your minds. Against our united strength, the ego cannot prevail.
Okay. Wow, that's a real mouthful.
It is a mouthful. And the superconscious and unconscious, it's really just referring to the superconscious level is where the impulses from God come in. The unconscious, I mean, we're all familiar, I think, with what, the idea of an unconscious is. And what this is saying that in our unconscious, our ego has repressed not only in physical form, the things that are unacceptable in this realm, maybe it's anything, like it said, appetites, cravings, sexual impulses that we don't think are appropriate, whatever, those get repressed. But what is also repressed too, is, I'm trying to find the exact wording. It says, the upper level of the unconscious thus contains the call of God as well as the call of the body. So there is some awareness, you know, that we could have of truth, but the ego has to keep it out of our awareness because our ego existence depends on us denying truth. So, yeah, that's what I have to say about that. And so I'm just going to read on again that where I just read, I'm going to just continue because it sort of restates. That is why the basic conflict between love and fear is unconscious. The ego cannot tolerate either and represses both by resorting to inhibition. So that conflict, we can't have the truth, the abundance of the love in our awareness and also, you know, have the fear there too. So they both get pushed away. And I lost my train of thought. I was going to say something else.
is there some way of explaining that on a kind of simpler? Is there like a simple example of that?
If we knew what we truly were, we would abandon our ego immediately. So until we come to really, really know that the ego is not who we are and it does not make us happy, we're going to keep those things out of our awareness because if the moment we knew who we were, we wouldn't want the ego anymore.
Is it the Holy Spirit's help that, because, I mean, honestly, just reading this or listening to this, you know, while you were reading, I felt sort of like hopeless. Like, how can you get out of this? But
and that, yeah,
that isn't
could.
That really the Holy Spirit's?
Yes. Yep.
That's the Holy Spirit's job because we really can't.
Exactly. We can't fix it ourselves. That's right.
We can't.
Right. We'd be lost in it. So you're absolutely right. And the good news is that it's not hopeless. It's actually really easy.
it's as easy as remembering to ask.
Exactly. Yep, that's it.
Because so much of the day today, I remembered to ask, and
mm-hmm.
so much went so well. But when I don't remember and when I think I'm in charge and I'm running the show,
mm-hmm.
that's when it doesn't go so well, you
right.
know, and that's
right.
when I feel uncertain. I don't feel confident.
Right.
Feel a little lost.
Right.
Don't feel good enough.
I have a book recommendation. I may have brought this up last week. I don't remember. I actually downloaded the audiobook, so I'm listening to a book called Proof of Heaven by Dr. Eben Alexander, and I've been posting about it. I posted it all over Facebook, so maybe some of you saw my links already, but I'm almost done. I have a few chapters left, and it's a story. He's a neurosurgeon. He does not believe in God. He believes that consciousness comes from the brain. You know, any near-death experience is just the brain, you know, firing and producing that tunnel and that light. Anyway, he gets very sick with meningitis, is in a coma and brain dead for an entire week. The proof is that he's hooked up to, you know, machines the whole time that are monitoring that he is, in fact, brain dead. And he goes through an experience that not only transforms him, it's transformative to listen to. And for me, it's given a picture in my mind. It's given words to a lot of what the Course is teaching with, I don't even know how to, I almost am at a loss for words. You got to read it.
What is it again?
It's called Proof of Heaven. And actually, he was just on Super Soul Sunday with Oprah Winfrey. It's re-airing this coming Sunday. I'm not sure if it's 10 or 11 a.m. And I haven't watched that yet. You can watch it streaming online at any point in time. But basically, he talks about what I think in my own words, with my understanding of the Course, what it sounded like he went through was he saw the real world, which he described like seeing like a village of people who were just, you know, so purely happy and so purely peaceful. And it was almost like he was in the lower levels of heaven, where he was out of his body. He still very much knew himself. He would ask questions of this guide that was with him, and instantaneously, without words, it was as if the answers were just instantly given to him, like, you know, almost pushed through him, like in his mind. He said the awareness of love was unlike anything he had ever experienced here in this, you know, earthly realm before, and that the whole experience was more real than his children being born. It was more real than anything he's ever experienced here. So it's a really good book. So that, to me, I've always struggled with this idea of how the Course talks about different levels of perception. And what I kind of got from listening to his story, what he described was that when he first was having his out-of-body experience, he was going through this, like, dark, mucky, like, almost this, like, shrill-sounding place, and eventually came through that to this peaceful, very loving, very intense place. And as he found that being there for however long he was there, if he focused on the feeling of pure love that he had when he was in, like, that, you know, the lower gates of heaven, in the real world, whatever you want to call it, when he focused on that, he was instantly brought to it. When he didn't focus on it is when he started kind of, you know, dropping back down into, like, these lower levels of consciousness, eventually coming back into his body. So for me, the parallel was that, you know, as we focus on the Holy Spirit here, we come to start to really know the Holy Spirit. We come to have an experience of ourselves in truth. We get these little glimpses. When we're looking away from that, when we're looking to the ego, that's when we're totally absorbed, you know, with the body, with conflict. We have to actually make that choice to focus our gaze on the Holy Spirit within us, because it's that, you know, the Holy Spirit that is our guide out, and that's our choice. So it became to me, and he says this in the book, that it's our task here in this lifetime to learn how to start turning back to our source, start turning back to love, because that's how we get there. We just have to focus on it and, you know, be willing constantly to hand over our false perceptions, because then those blocks just start to fall away and we start to again have that experience of ourselves in truth. So,
Corinne, I'd like to add something to this.
Please.
What you're saying, lesson 338,
mm-hmm.
really is exactly about what you're talking about. And
which is, what is the lesson? Do you remember the name?
Yes. Wait a minute. I have it right here. I have it right here. It is, I'm afraid I am affected only by my thoughts.
Mm.
I read this the other morning because, it was the workbook lesson for that day. And it just, I feel like it's the only lesson that you even need.
Mm.
Because, do you want me to read it? It's
sure.
Short.
Okay, sure. Please.
All right. I'm affected only by my thoughts. It needs but this to let salvation come to all the world. For in this single thought is everyone released at last from fear. Now he has learned that no one frightens him. Nothing can endanger him. He has no enemies. And he is safe from all external things. His thoughts can frighten him, but since these thoughts belong to him alone, he has the power to change them and exchange each fear thought for a happy thought of love. He crucified himself, yet God has planned that his beloved son will be redeemed. I mean, that, because I was having thoughts that were kind of making me feel sick at that, right before I read this. And, you know, when I read it, it was like so liberating.
Mm-hmm.
of those things.
Right. We do have a choice.
I don't have to think
you know
of any
so
of it.
Funny? You know what's
but
so that. Funny? We did this lesson last night in that class I was telling you about.
Did you really?
You're kidding.
Yes. No, I'm not. And he says you should say it, I'm affected only by my thoughts. Like put some juice into it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the way you say it. You know, I'm affected only.
Mm-hmm.
By my thoughts.
I love
so
that.
Cool.
That emphasis is such
the
a reminder
emphasis.
That it comes from us. Like, mm-hmm. we constantly, you know, the temptation is such, if only they were different, if only they weren't doing this to me, if only they, you know, whatever, fill in
right.
the blank, it happens all the time. That emphasis that you just said, I love that. I'm affected only by my
only.
Thoughts.
Only. You didn't say
only.
A little. Only.
But, you know, and we perpetuate. And this, you know, I was having these thoughts about a physical thing that I'm going through right now.
Oh.
And I realized I keep creating this with my thoughts just because I'm fearful of it. And instead, if I would just get off of it, if I would just let it go and really turn it over to the Holy Spirit, it would be over with.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's really interesting. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm reading, in addition to this Course in Miracles, I'm also reading The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, and it's such an easy read, and it actually gives you almost like exercises, if you will, on how you can let things go. Because for me, I'm like, well, how do I let it go? You know, do I need to process it in my mind and think about it? And it says, no, don't even do that. Like, then you delve down, you dive down into it, and you get lost in it and all that stuff.
Right.
So it's so true how it's your thoughts. And when it comes up into your heart, you just recognize that you're the awareness and that you are the one watching yourself.
Right.
And that's
yeah.
who you truly are. And so it almost becomes like you're watching a movie and
right.
you can just let it go. And so, I mean, it's explained so simply. And so I'm reading this in addition to The Course in Miracles, which is a very intense read. And then I go over here to this and I'm like, okay. It's, I mean, because I'm aware of this book too. And so I flipped through my book to read that lesson. And it's so cool because I feel like that lesson is intertwined throughout all these lessons that it really is your thought, and you choose to think that, and you can choose to go into that and get wrapped up in it, or you can choose to just breathe and let it go.
Awesome. Love that. Thank you.
It's really
I think the
that.
Emotions that these thoughts generate are really the thing that perpetuates the inability because it the emotions make it all feel so real.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it's real.
Right. Only the love.
Only
and
love is real. So these unloving
happiness.
Thoughts are literally an attack on God's plan for our salvation.
Yep. Beautiful. Sonia, were you going to say something?
Oh, I was. I was saying that, you know, because I just started the workbook lessons. I'm only on lesson 9, but two that I keep on keeping in my mind, I think it's lesson 4 that's like, these thoughts I'm having are in the past. Or no, these thoughts that I'm having are meaningless, and I just say that to myself as everything, like someone else said about being a witness, as the thoughts are kind of spinning by in your mind, just that, you know, these thoughts that I'm having are meaningless, and it's kind of like what someone else said about the untethered soul. Don't dive into it. Just realize they're just flashing across your mind. They're just going to keep coming, and the less you go into it and try to, you know, explain or understand or, you know, like intellectualize it, just, you know,
it kind of lets itself spin out. And then the lesson I was reading today, I think it was lesson 9, it said something about, I totally didn't get it, but I felt like it still was very profound, about how you really are a blank service. First, like your mind is really blank, and these thoughts are just thoughts from the past that are just shooting through your mind. Mm-hmm. And I just read that this morning, and I felt like that was so profound. I was like, wow, I don't understand 100% what that means, but part of me recognizes that that's true.
Right, right. Wow. Beautiful. Yeah, I'd have to reread that section. I know what you're talking about our mind being a blank, and then we I feel like it. I can think of two different ways, perhaps, in which the Course talks about that. I'd have to reread it, really, to have some more things to say about it. But
yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying too. When you read something, it's like you fully don't get it, but you just know.
Just,
you know, something about it really just resonates. So. Awesome.
Earl, he also said regarding this, he's like, how many things that you worry about really do happen? You know, it's
right.
Like we're all up in our heads.
What if
how many things
about,
really
like,
happen?
Best, what if we obsessed about like the best things that can happen?
You
know, we don't do that. How much might come from that if we were so concerned about, you know, this good thing happening?
Say that again. Let's obsess about the best things that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. Because I know that obsession.
Yes,
but
me
it's
too.
True. I mean, we put together all these scenarios of what's going to happen, you know. And, oh, my God, you know. And it doesn't happen.
Nope.
None of it.
Nope.
I know. Sometimes it's so funny. I was reading an article today, and it was on Joe Wolf's site, and it was basically talking about, he has some excerpts from Dr. David Hawkins, and I guess Dr. David Hawkins had given like a lecture at one point, and he says the ego engages in izing, and one of the words was catastrophizing, and I thought that was so funny, like ego's building like the latest catastrophe that's gonna happen. I was like, oh my God, I do that. I just go in these mental. It's just horrible.
I'll just share a really quick funny example that I've shared before, again, you know, with my growth through anxiety, and that's been just a big hook that my ego has often thrown my way, and I've picked up the bait for a long time. And I was feeling, you know, I work the Course all the time, and that's does not make my ego happy at all. And so I was feeling really good the other day, and I had some sort of bodily ache or pain, and I literally had this, like, this voice be like, it's your liver, or like, it's your, you know, like, and I actually started laughing, like, oh my, like, that is my ego, like, hello, like, no, thank you, like, it was this very, like, seductive, like, it's your liver, like, that's the problem, and it was just so funny, because, you know, like, I mean, there it is, and then there's the choice to either go down that path or not. And I didn't. I'm happy to say I heard that and I said, here you go, Holy Spirit. I'm not hanging on to anything.
One of the things that I read today that was so funny, and it was this last little blurb about from Dr. Hawkins, was like, the ego is an endless proliferator of BS. And I just fell out laughing. I was like, I need to write that down. That is so true.
That is so true. I love that.
oh my
goodness.
God.
And you know something? I know that this is going to be really good to come back to and listen to this whole thing again, because part of me has gotten part of it and part of me hasn't gotten it. But there was an example today that even I know in my sleep last night, I could not let – my ego was going and going and going, and I'm like, I just cannot – I couldn't separate from what was going on. And so this morning I thought, okay, well, you know, I thought it was you, Corinne, give everything to the Holy Spirit. And so I gave everything and on. And I wrote about it and I prayed about it and I read about it. And then, you know, it's interesting. I ran into somebody today and she seemed to have some of the information I was looking for, and it is kind of crazy. I mean, I feel like I venture not to say this, but, you know, it's like when you see somebody who's bipolar, you know, I know that's not the talk in the course, but you have the mania, and then you have the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And so today, it felt like the mania just going nuts, and I'm like, what's happening? And only thing I can say is that I let go and said, I don't know what to do today, which I heard also Paula talking a little bit earlier, is that, you know, when I turn my day over, you know, it's so interesting. I what comes to mind is time and space are under my control, and that's what comes to mind.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but, you know, I hear what you're saying, but, man, my ego is fighting big time, and it just seems like I say, you know, I have that argument. Listen, I don't know. How can you say if I let go of everything, if the work has to get done, how is it going to get done? So here I am, back and forth and back and forth. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys, I just had to share. It's crazy.
Thank you for sharing it. And again, like, when you said time and space are under my control, you're referring to the course quote, right?
Right, right.
And just struggling with that, with letting it go, how is it going to get done? You'll still have to do it. Maybe, you know, probably most likely, but it can be easier. It can be without effort. It can be without strain. Strain is the word that comes forward for me, that we put ourselves, again, we can be affected only by our thoughts. How often are we straining because we're either doing something that we don't want to do, or we just feel like there's so much and we're thinking of everything all at once rather than just taking it, you know, one thing at a time. The piece, too, about struggling with your ego so much, you're recognizing it, which is wonderful. And then again, I always go back to when I'm in that struggle, starting to work at it from that level. Here's my unwillingness again. There's if it all goes back to my thoughts, there is part of my mind that wants to stay in this ickiness, because what is it doing? It's keeping the love away. And I know that's, it sounds so harsh to say, but the Course is saying this is what we're doing, that we're doing this to ourselves. So if you can stomach that idea and say, this is my unwillingness to heal showing up again, and I am just willing to share this with you, Holy Spirit, or I'm willing to look at this with you again. And then there comes a point when you're ready, and I think we talked about this. We have talked about this last week or the week before. At some point, digging your heels in and saying, it is done. I have handed this over, you know, it is done, and I am just being stubborn, and I'm going to refuse to believe that this is still a problem. I handed it over, period. But again, that can be 10 steps ahead. You have to be exactly where you're at, and wherever you're at is fine, because don't fight yourself too. The Course says that. Do not fight yourself. If you're finding that resistance is really high and, you know, your willingness feels really low, that's okay too. You're nowhere other than where you're supposed to be. Like there are no mistakes. Everything is exactly as it should be right now. So don't beat yourself up.
Well, I'm really... this is Sonia, again, if I can say one thing very quickly.
Please.
I'm really glad that you said that, Corinne, because I had an episode last night, and I was just really struggling, and I could feel myself trying to pull away from it, but it seemed like it was, like, such a force of energy inside me that I just couldn't, like, find my peace with it. And I was just like, I have to go to sleep. I can't do anything else, because I was, like, handing it over, praying about it. But I was just so miserable. All I could do was go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. And it was, mm-hmm. and I could sense, the push and pull within myself. So I could recognize it, like you said to Paul, I could recognize where I was. But I'm glad
right.
you said that, you know, even if you are resistant, you know, it's okay because that's just where you are right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. If we start feeling bad about where we're at, then all that is the ego again.
Mm-hmm.
There are no mistakes. We're exactly where we need to be.
I think those are the kindest words ever spoken.
Mm-hmm. They come from the heart.
Thank you, Corinne. That
mm-hmm.
boy, you just nailed it. You really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it
you definitely spoke to what I had on my mind.
Oh, good. Well, I only say what I need to hear. As Earl Purdy states, he teaches what he needs to learn. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
The other night, I was... this is Carmella, sorry.
Hi, Carmella.
I joined in with Gabby Bernstein's, it was A Course in Miracle, or not, excuse me, it was May Cause Miracles, and I did, like, Ustream in,
uh-huh,
and she had, like, a workshop or something, and she said that whenever you have these thoughts that are your ego, this is what helped me. It kind of goes along with what you're all saying. She said, you know, just say, I forgive myself for having those thoughts, or I forgive myself for beating myself up for having those thoughts. And she's like, and that in of itself is all you need to do, is just say, I forgive myself. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so easy. And I've been saying that all day today. I'm like,
awesome.
Because I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have that thought, you know, and then I'm like, no, it's okay, because I'm learning and I'm, you know, going through this experience. And so I forgive myself for
awesome.
Condemning myself. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, oh, absolutely.
I have to talk myself out of thoughts all the time. Like, I have to talk myself out of having thoughts.
Oh.
And I have to be like, I have to talk myself out of having thoughts, and I have to, like, not be like, no, I'm choosing another thought right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes. It's Deepak
wow.
Chopra, he says, you just say next.
Right.
You have a thought and you next.
Next.
What,
like,
people must think, you know, we're talking to ourselves.
You know, that's a good thing.
They're talking to themselves.
You know, can I interject real fast? Because there's a couple of things that I really appreciate you guys when you shared that part. This is Angela, and you shared the part about, you know, I forgive myself. And I remember in Miracle Distribution Center or something, I was listening to something, and they were talking about this actress. And in the mirror, they said, how do you do what you do every day? You wake up, you look so wonderful. And this, she said, well, every morning I wake up and I look in the mirror and I say, I forgive you. Every morning. And that's how she got through. So I chuckled because I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome.
That
there was something else I was going to say, and I lost it, and I'm so sorry, because you know what? The people, and now I remember, the people who say that, you know what, where you can get rid of the ego, as if the ego is real, but by beating up on the ego. And I'm
right.
like, what? This is insane. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I just had to interject that because I thought for me it was important.
Right, right. That's
any comments?
Well, I mean, isn't the is it asceticism with like, you know, depriving the body and like beating the
mm-hmm.
body and, you know,
right.
That's the path that the Buddha went down. The Buddha tried mm-hmm. that to the extreme. He almost starved himself
yeah.
to death, and
mm-hmm.
only to find that, like, wait a second, this isn't the way, you know. But but again, there's infinite paths to the same. We're all going to the same place, so not, you know, there's not one path that's better than another. But yeah, beating ourselves up is not going to. The course quote, as we were talking about everything that everybody has just shared, that was just so perfect and so beautiful. I know I say this often, but it's just such a good reminder. The course, how it says, it's not that we're going to stop having negative thoughts or bad thoughts or judgmental thoughts. We're going to keep having them. It's just that we have none that we would keep. So it's about recognizing that it's coming up, and whether your language is I forgive myself or I forgive, you know, whatever, or here, Holy Spirit, here you go, like whatever it is that you do, it's just that we're not keeping those. those thoughts. We're willing to let them be transformed. We're willing to hand them over.
It's such a relief to think that.
Isn't it?
To be like, oh, like you can just breathe and just...
But it's also such a relief to have the Holy Spirit that shifts these thoughts. You know, I was in a situation today at work with a guy who is extremely creative with his thinking.
Uh-huh.
And he was, it was becoming so chaotic listening to him that I thought, oh, Holy Spirit, oh, I'm into this. And I'm telling you, within minutes, it all stopped. It all just stopped. That is so powerful that we have that in our mind that can shift these situations for us.
Right.
And we don't have to do anything.
Right.
And for some reason, I remember this so much better at work, I guess because I've had so much practice over the years. But it works.
It does. It does. And as we have those experiences of it working, that's the development of trust. That's when we feel confident in turning to the Holy Spirit, and you know, we more and more come to know that the Holy Spirit has our backs.
Do you know the beautiful thing about that today too, Corinne? At one time, that kind of chaotic talk that was going on, I would have hated that man for that. But I didn't hate him. I didn't hate him at all.
Wow.
I was just so grateful for him and myself that it just stopped.
Wow.
That it just stopped. Everything just calmed down. And it really turned out to be such a good working experience.
Wow. Beautiful. That's awesome.
It's really powerful. Just Holy Spirit. That's all you have to say is Holy Spirit. Get in here. Change this.
Now.
Shift this. And it works.
It sure does. We're asked to do so little. The Course is asking us to do so little that our egos find it absolutely insulting.
Oh, absolutely.
Way more complicated than it has to be. It is easy. Even though it might not feel easy at times.
No, it's effortless accomplishment. It with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's hell.
Yes. On that note, I think that was the perfect way to end the call. Without the Holy Spirit, it's hell.
Yeah.
Makes me smile. So we're at the top of the hour, so it went by fast. Thank you, everyone, so much for being here, and we will pick up where we left off next week.
Oh, what a blessing. See you all next week.
Thank
See you,
you
all next
Thank
week.
You.
Have a
good
night.
Good night,
all.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.